Okay, I spoke with Father yesterday. He asked me to extend his love to all of you, as well as Jesus and HS, like they always do, and I give everyone peace. It's going to be a short meeting today. Father asked me to please wish everyone a very merry and blessed Christmas from the three of them, and then he said this: many things have changed in the world. Many of you can feel this. I can tell all of you to be of good cheer and do not let the world sour your heart. I am completely aware of everything that is taking place, and though you may not think so, this is all part of my plan. I need all of you to stay focused, focused on yourselves and your abilities. Please, everyone, I need you to all meditate more and spend time with those who I have provided to you. They will continue to instruct, train, and prepare all of you for the future. Do not get discouraged, but be strong. I can and will change things in time. This world is going to become a very desolate and depressing world, but I have set lights to brighten it. You are all my lights, beacons that shine in the darkness, light that cuts through and destroys evil. You are my sentinels of light. Never forget that I am always with you, even through some of your darkest moments. I will never leave you. I love all of you very much. Now stay the course, and we will finish this task soon. Yep, I said my son's favorite word, and then he laughed. So, we all need to stay focused. He is asking you and I, including me too, to meditate more and to spend time with the counseling angels that he has assigned to us, all of the archangels we have. They can come and help us. And your counseling angel is going to instruct you about other tasks that are coming down the road. You and I just need to be aware of those things. And if you have not found that book that Father's placed in your heart, then I would ask you to look for it. Ask your counseling angel to help you find it, and then they will help you walk through it. One of our teammates asked me to discuss in this meeting what happens to a soul when they pass from this world into the next world. And I will be very to the point with what I share with you. This is all based on my personal experiences and what I know, and it is based on what we understand in our faith. So I will go into a little bit more detail than normal. After that, then Tranquility has a little bit of a story to share with everybody, and then I will pray with everyone, and that will conclude our meeting. When a person passes away from this life into the next life, if they are new apostolic and they have been faithful to the terms of listening to the services, asking for forgiveness, receiving forgiveness, and also partaking in the body blood of Christ, it has been my experience that when they pass, and as I've been to many a funeral for a new apostolic, their angel actually hands them off to their family that's waiting for them in the congregation right there. They usually stand around the person who's passed, and they wait. And once the officiant says ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and does that part of the funeral, they are now handed over to their family members. The faithful ones are ushered into the realm of paradise, and for a short period of time, they get to spend time with their family. They get to reignite the family love that they had when those loved ones were here on this earth. And then after that, they actually get assigned to certain realms, and then they work in those realms, giving testimony, just as you and I understand. For someone who is not new apostolic, and I will use Brilliance's father-in-law passed away recently, and he was a Catholic. The Catholics probably have misled and have been lied to mostly or more than any other religion on this planet. When you die, you do not go to heaven. No one is in heaven except Father. The Trinity is there. That's it. Because Christ is going to come again and take a select few with him. When he comes and takes those few, then everything is going to move forward and everybody is ushered into heaven as far as the chosen ones go. I forgot to ask everybody to mute their phones, please. So please do that. For someone who is not new apostolic, even though they believe that they've had their sins forgiven, that they have been faithful to the extent of what they believe faithfulness is, not one of their sins has been forgiven, because that power and authority has only been given to the apostles' ministry that's active today in our church. So what happened with Brilliance's father-in-law was, when I went to the wake, he was there and he was bound in chains from head to toe. What I find ironic about the Christmas season is the Christmas Carol story that Charles Dickens wrote. And when Marley comes and talks to Scrooge, he is bound in chains. And he even makes the point, these are my works. This is what I have to carry around. So it's very profound for Charles Dickens to figure that out. It is very true. Every single one of their sins, even though they think it's been forgiven, it has not. Once they pass over, they have 7 days. Even though they're not bound by time, I'm told that it's a 7-day period of time. In that 7-day period of time, they are given the choice. They can stay here on this earth and meander back and forth, or they can go into eternity. And if they go into eternity, then they're ushered into the realm based on the spirits and the demons that they served here, and then they are allowed to work through their salvation at that point. And our brothers and sisters come, and they talk with them, and they give testimony to them. But exactly as they are here is exactly as they are there. If they're a stubborn mule here, they're a stubborn mule there. The interesting thing about Brilliance's father-in-law was that he has come to Brilliance on many occasions, and he has said to her, I do not know how to pray. I need you to teach me how to pray. And she's had many conversations with him where he's actually sat next to her on her bed. He has had questions for her, and she has answered them for him. And he thanked her for all that she's doing because of who she is. Once they cross over, they're not bound by flesh anymore, so everything that is available to them to know is known to them. So they know about us, they know about the team, they know about me, but they choose to either stay in their realm or they can come out. And the last service for the departed father was gracious, and he allowed every single soul, regardless of whether they decided to attend the service or not, to listen to the chief apostle serve, and that was his way of trying to draw them out of eternity. I can tell you that the Catholic realm of the priests and the nuns is probably the most angry realm that I'm aware of, because these people have dedicated their entire lives to Father. They have sacrificed almost everything, and when they cross over, they find out that they are not in heaven, that they do not have a status, that they are just like everybody else, and basically they have been lied to. They are a difficult realm to work in, because now our brothers and sisters come and they say to them, no, this is the way, this is what you need to do. And for them, they are so disenchanted because they've been lied to all these years and have dedicated themselves so much that sometimes they decide to stay where they are because they're that angry. So I would petition everyone in this conversation to pray for the Catholics, because it is a difficult situation for them to get their heads around. During that 7-day period of time, they decide where they want to go. If they decide to stay here, then no help is offered to them, because the help is not here. It's in eternity. 3 times a year, they're allowed to come here. They can participate in the sacraments, like we know. They can have their sins forgiven at that point when they've repented, right? The Father will do that for them. They can partake in Holy Communion, and they can be sealed and have their baptism confirmed, or even be baptized at that point. Once that happens for them, they move progressively through their faith. It's not as though it doesn't happen too often, I should say. That when a soul crosses over, boom, by the next service, they are baptized, they're sealed, they move forward. It does happen, but it doesn't happen that often. It is a long progression of time, and even though they're not bound by time, it takes time. Once they accept grace, once they start to listen to our brothers and sisters, once they start to attend the services, once they start to come to grips with what their life was, and they seek grace from Father, and they accept his offer, then they too are then offered everything that you and I are offered to. And when they become sealed and baptized and they attend the services, they also are now ushered into the realm of paradise. The realm of paradise is a kind of a holding place. It's very beautiful. It's very tranquil. It's very quiet and peaceful. It's a place where they get to recharge, because some of the most debilitating conditions that you and I can't even fathom happen in eternity. And even though they don't have a physical body, the soul gets strained. Soul gets drained as well. We've all had conversations with people where by the time we get done, even though they physically haven't been doing anything, we feel spiritually drained. That is why they are allowed to have communion once a week with us. It gives the strength for their soul to move forward and to be reinvigorated. They get a period of time in between. My dad was telling me that he goes into the realm that he works in, the millennia, and he's in there for maybe 3 days. He gets pulled out and he gets put into another realm where he can recharge his batteries for 2 days. Then they send him back in for another 3 days, and that's the cycle. We need to pray more for the souls in eternity, because every time you and I pray or petition on behalf of a condition, a person we know, a situation, then Father sends somebody to go talk to them. The problem is that they don't always understand what our brothers and sisters are saying to them. Last month, Trice shared the experience where he spoke with the American Indians, where they never had ever heard of who Jesus Christ was or anything. Those conditions exist, and there's more, and I think, in eternity than you and I would even be aware of that do not even understand what salvation is. They don't understand who Jesus is. They don't understand what grace is or forgiveness is. So it's foreign to them. So the more you and I pray, the more our Father sends messengers in to talk with them. And just as you and I had to go through schooling, sometimes it took us years to understand the basics of math and reading and everything that's going on. It wasn't just something that clicked for us. It was a progression. It's the same there. They don't always send the same brother and sister to talk with them. Sometimes they send somebody different. The Chief Apostle Streckeisen is the one who is in charge of the dispersion of who goes where, and also the other chief apostles work with him as well, and they know who to send, when to send, and how it's going to work out at that point. But not everybody accepts. A lot of people fight. A lot of people don't want to believe, and you and I are very fortunate because Father chose you and I because he knew we would believe, and we have. So, does anybody have any questions about that process? I know that I had Fred create emails for everybody on the Team Supplanter website. I'm going to be very honest. I have 5 emails that I manage now, and I have rarely ever gone to the Team Supplanter email, so I'm just going to say let's just not use them at this point. Maybe down the road we will, but from now on I'm just going to use my Yahoo Supplanter, SOG2 at Yahoo, for business, and if you guys want to contact me through that one or my Gmail, that's fine with me, okay? Tranquility, if you could share your experience with everyone, I'd appreciate that.
Okay, I think I unmuted now. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I go to see a naturopath fairly regularly, and a couple of weeks ago I went to him, but he couldn't give me the appointment that I usually have. He only had an appointment that was 1 hour later, so I said, that's fine, I'll take that appointment. So after school, I was debating, should I go home because I had an hour to kill, or should I go shopping? And I wasn't really sure what to do. And then I had this very strong feeling, you know what, just go to the office, like the naturopathy office, and just sit. You've got a book there. You can read your book. So I followed that inkling, and I went there, and I sat down. And almost immediately when I sat in the chair in the waiting area, I thought about this sister that I hadn't seen for many years. She is a little bit younger than I am, and she used to go to our congregation. And Tom was actually her rector for 2 different congregations that she was in. And for some reason, I started thinking about her, which I thought was rather odd. I hadn't seen her in, I would say, about 10 years. And I was just sitting, and then the door opens from the examination room, and out walks the sister. I forgot to mention that the sister lives in Thunder Bay, which is, I guess, about, well, it's quite far up north. It would take at least 10 hours to drive up there. And so when I saw her, and she saw me, and we both looked at each other with a shock, and I stood up and I said, oh, I'm so glad to see you. I said, I can't believe it. I was just thinking about you. And we hugged each other, and then she said very quietly in my ear, I have stage 3 breast cancer. And she said, but please don't tell anybody. Only there's a district evangelist and his wife that knows, but no one else knows. And I said to her, oh my goodness, I said, well, it's no coincidence that we're both here at the same time. I said, I'm actually 1 hour early for my appointment. And then she said to me, well, my flight, I had to fly in. She said, my flight was 1 hour late. It was detained. And I says, well, isn't that interesting? You're 1 hour early. I'm 1 hour early and you're 1 hour late. And here we are at the same time. So we were able to share a little bit of experience. She was telling me what had happened. She's not one that likes to see the doctor very often, and she realized that her one breast was increasing in size. She knew something wasn't quite right, but she was very hesitant to go to the doctor. And then besides the tumor, she developed a very big cyst that was now oozing. And so I promised her that I would pray for her. She asked if Tom would also pray for her, and I guaranteed her of that. And then I went for my appointment. We had like maybe about 20 minutes that we were able to share together. And I went and laid on the examination table, got my acupuncture, and while I was laying there, I grounded her and asked my team to give her some energy, and I pogged her. And by the time I came out, she had left. She had to catch her flight. And so then the next day or two afterwards, she sent me an email, and she said that she was so happy that we could connect. And she said that since I had spoken to her, the tumor got much softer, so she knew that the prayers were working. And then I decided to write back to her, and I said to her, she had told me that she was meditating, and so I said to her, you know, I meditate every morning too, and I just wanted to let you know that while I was having my acupuncture done, I ran some positive energy through you, and I was praying for you. And so since then, we've been communicating, I guess, well, at least once a week, if not a little bit more. But it was a wonderful experience, and the nice thing was that my naturopathy, when he came in, he said to me, oh, so you saw Pat, and I said, yes, and he said, did she tell you what is wrong with her? And I said, yes, she did share it with me, and then he said to me, will you pray for her? And I said, yes, I definitely will. So it was nice for him, too. He's Buddhist, and I said to him, you know, it's not a coincidence that we were both here, me 1 hour early, her 1 hour late, at the same time. And he said, I know that. So for me, it was, I just felt so thankful, very grateful that I could be a tool. It was an awesome experience. So I'm asking everyone if they wouldn't mind to pray for her. She is booked for surgery. It looks like it'll be around the 20th of December. Things are going very well. She was able to see the doctor. At first, the doctor said he wasn't going to do a mastectomy on her unless she had chemo and radiation. But we prayed for that, too, and he has agreed. And actually, he called in the plastic surgeon at the same time to save her an appointment. And it's going to be pretty rigorous and painful. She will have to have her left or right breast removed, plus all the lymph nodes under her arm, and they're going to have to take some muscle from her back and graft it to make a flap in the front. So she knows there's a long road ahead, but it was very nice how we were able to bond, and I'm just asking if you wouldn't mind to pray for her also, especially on the 20th. I'd really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Gladly. And what's her first name again?
Her name is Pat.
Pat, okay. Yeah, we'll pray
and,
for
and
Pat.
And there's another family, too. I hope you don't mind, Suppy. I never asked you about this,
nope.
But it just happened last Sunday. I'm not sure if any of you have noticed on Facebook, but it's on Priest Justin Samler's prayer page. There is a family that comes from Alberta, and they were driving home from church. The father's a priest, and the weather conditions were not very good. And their van slipped off the highway, and it went into a river. And the van was head first in the river, and it just so happened. And I'm saying it sarcastically, that there was a man that was walking with his girlfriend, and he dove in to the freezing cold river, and he pulled all five of the family members out. The mother was pronounced dead at the scene. There was also a doctor who just happened by at the same time, and he was able to give CPR to two of the children, and they were revived. However, the one boy is in intensive care. He is, I think, 4 years old, and he's had a stroke as a result of his injuries, and they say the next 48 hours are critical for him. He is in critical condition. The next 48 hours are crucial. The other little boy, I think he is three, and he was in intensive care. However, he has now been downgraded. He's doing much better. He was in a coma, but he's come out of the coma. And there's also the sister and the father. The father suffered minor injuries. The sister had also minor injuries, but it's the two boys, especially the one boy, and his name is Ben, and he's in intensive care. So if you wouldn't mind, they've lost their mother, and also they're all pretty, they're not in very good condition right now. So if you wouldn't mind to pray for them, and if you want updates, if you go to Priest Justin Sandler's prayer page, it's on there. And actually, Sandy, she made a prayer page too, I think. Is Blazar here?
Yeah. And
yeah, so if you want to tell Sandy that she can get updates from the priest, Altfather's brother, on Justin's prayer page, there's regular updates there too.
Yeah, there's a prayer page that somehow we're on, and Priest Altaverde actually posted this morning an update mentioning about you know what was going on.
Yeah, that's
and
okay.
And Thursday, you know, our family joined in prayer at 6 o'clock for Ben. I guess from the national office, they sent out a prayer request. So it was nice to join in on that.
Yeah, it's wonderful that we can all be a part of it. It's so wonderful.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
Thank you. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share with the team or say anything? Need anything?
I have... I went ahead and did a drug test and sent in paperwork for background checks. So hopefully by next week I'll find out if I have that new job.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and so if I do have that job, I'll be training in Chicago on the 6th of January.
Okay, great.
Right.
In France. Anything else?
I do have a question. Sorry, I'm doing a lot of talking today.
No,
this
okay.
was the first time. Today was the first time that Thomas ever asked me for a healing. And
really?
So I said, sure, I'll give you a healing, no problem. And, Suppy, you know that Thomas has all these walls up. And I told Thomas, I said, I guarantee you I don't have the gift of sight like the others do, but I can feel things, and I will give you this healing. And when I got to the second chakra, he started laughing uncontrollably. And he said, Mom, I'm so sorry. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be rude. But he was laughing, like, really a lot.
Okay.
And I just had the impression that it was a demon that was inside of him. And
okay.
I also tried to think of a cord, to follow the cord to see if he had an entity also. And so I sent my team to destroy those. Was my impression correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I told him that, too. I said, I'm pretty sure that you had a demon. Not to worry. I said to him, I almost felt like I was being taunted. And so when he said, I'm so sorry, Mom, I said, that's okay. Just let it all come out as much as you need to come out. Just keep on laughing. It's okay.
Right.
So that's what I did. But then afterwards, he went and he laid down for a little while, and I said, how are you feeling? He says, I'm feeling much better. So it was a little bit unusual, a little bit odd, but given what's been happening the last couple of days, I wasn't surprised.
Right. Did you want to share with the team what happened the other day with the discombobulation?
Yeah. I got an email actually from the Apostle Zor, and he asked if he could come over with the district apostle. They were going to be in another congregation that's about 40 minutes east from where we live, and if they could celebrate Holy Communion with Tom. And so I said yes, and I made up my mind I wasn't going to tell him until the day of that they were coming. But, of course, the demon knew, and already that night he was in pretty rough shape. Then that morning I said to Tom, the district apostle would like to come and Apostle Zor would like to come, and it'll just be a very short visit. They just want to celebrate Holy Communion. And he was a little bit shocked at first, and then he became very angry, and he started, well, it wasn't him, but he started yelling and saying, well, it's about time that they saw what's going on. Let them see what's really happening, and, you know, let them experience it and whatnot. And so he was in pretty bad shape for most of the day. They came around, I guess it was around 5 o'clock they came, and by then there was, like, a lot of screaming and choking and gagging and all terrible, terrible things. And as soon as they opened the door, they're like, they just kind of froze. It was quite, for me, it was quite amazing to see that they were so taken aback. And the first thing that the district apostle said was, he was saying, is there nothing that any medical people can do? And so right away I jumped on that, and Andrew did too. Andrew was with me, and he said, no, my dad's seen all the specialists. He's seen psychiatrists, and there is nothing. They're saying that he's fine, he's okay. So we tried to squash that thought right away. And they just kind of froze in their steps. They were standing in my hallway, so I said to them, well, what about if we go downstairs and we can celebrate Holy Communion? We went down, and the district apostle went right in, and I mentioned that Tom has a very heightened sense of hearing when he's off like that. And so he spoke very quietly to him, and I said, just put your hand on him and just tell him that you're here. He knows that you're here, but just, you know, say hello. And so the demon was just screaming so loud, you can't even imagine. And I stood at the foot of the bed. The Apostle Zor was so shocked, he didn't even come into the room. He just stood in the doorway, and Andrew was behind him. And we knew that there was no way that we were going to be able to celebrate communion. So I said to the district apostle, please, if you don't mind, just pray with him. And while he was praying, the screams and the shouts were so loud that I didn't even hear the district apostle say amen. Afterwards, we went upstairs, and we were talking a little bit, and Andrew related an experience that we had a few years ago, where we had an experience with an angel, I'm sure of it, and I had prayed at that time. This was even before we met Suppy, and I had prayed that our Heavenly Father would acknowledge himself to us. I had gone to the bathroom to pray, and then when I came back, one of the nurses put their hands on Tom's forehead and said, feel my presence, I am with you always, you are never alone. And so Andrew related this experience, and Andrew became very emotional, and usually he's not. He was crying a little bit. And you could see they were very quiet. Apostle Zor commented on how Tom had dramatically deteriorated since he had seen him last. The last time that Apostle had seen him, Tom was just laying on the sofa, but very quiet, in pain, but not making any noise. And so Andrew said, well, I have a thought about that. He said, you know that as the time gets closer to this thing being destroyed, he's going to come out fighting, and he's going to be more determined to not give up. And I also mentioned to the district apostle and the apostle how Tom still has a great faith, and he finds the best way to keep himself occupied mentally is the best thing to fight. And so he's retranslating the Divine Service Guide, and he's listening to all the services online, and because I wanted them to know that it's not that his faith is lacking or that it's because he's not able to come to church. I wanted them to know that it wasn't medical and that it wasn't that he had a gripe against the church. So then I asked them before they left if they would mind to celebrate Holy Communion with Andrew and I because we weren't able to go to service. And he did, they both did, but they were so shook up that the district apostle couldn't remember the benediction. And then when he went to consecrate the elements, he dropped all the wafers on our coffee table. So for them, it was a very profound experience. They did not acknowledge anything about demons or anything. The only thing that was mentioned that we found out afterwards, Andrew had a meeting with the district elder on Friday, and apostles were once again mentioned how much Tom had deteriorated and that he didn't realize that he was as bad as he was. So we just keep praying that they will have the understanding. They have definitely seen it. The demon was in fine form, and there's no disputing the fact that, it wasn't Tom. And I'm sure that they know that, but still the district apostle was very hesitant when he prayed. He mentioned something about witchcraft. I don't think I told you that, Suppy, but
no.
He was saying something about witchcraft, and that bottom line, he said, God can do anything, and Jesus sacrificed himself, that we're not bound to what is on this earth. So that's where it stands, but I'm thinking to myself, I probably would have never been able to get the district apostle and the apostle at the same place in our home. It was, again, it was like another wonderful experience, because that, I know that was one of the wishes that our Heavenly Father had, that he said that he wanted the district apostle and the apostle to see Tom and to be with him. And I thought, how am I ever going to manage this? And I didn't even have to do a thing.
Yeah, he's got a plan.
Yeah. Well, now it's the district elder, the bishop, the apostle, and the district apostle that have all witnessed the power of this demon. So I don't think the time is right yet. I think it's still going to take time, like you said.
Yeah.
But at least they were exposed to it. There's
right.
No denying that.
And nobody can fake that. Why
no.
would they?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and why would they? That's right. It's very humiliating. And the thing was, even while we were talking and praying, of course, we could still hear him so loud, even though he was in the basement. It was like he was right beside us.
Wow.
But the nicest thing for me was that after they left, I was filled with such a sense of peace. I felt so good. I can't even tell you. I felt such... Anna Maria, my counseling angel, revealed to me that I received extra strength through the Holy Communion, because I was shaking, like I was zhuzhing big time. It was, even though it was for me a little bit disappointing, the joy that I received from the Holy Communion was much greater than anything else that happened that night.
But
yeah.
So then we'll just keep praying for our friend Tom, for the horns. Mommy's got this all planned out, and even though we don't understand what has to take place, I'll speak from experience, I don't appreciate Father's processes ever. In the end, they always spell out a complete reason why. So,
one more thing. I just want to tell you that when Andrew also met with the district elder, it was for something not related to us, but the district elder said that he appreciated meeting you, but he was a little bit weary. He doesn't. He says that he believes everything that you said. He says, but he has a hard time getting his head wrapped around the fact that you can't, or that you will not, destroy the demon that's in Tom.
Sure.
And Andrew tried to explain to him, you know, that it had to be that way. Otherwise, if you just here and there were always destroying demons, the apostles would never realize the power and authority that they have and that they must use it.
Exactly.
So that's kind of where he is struggling a little bit. And maybe we could pray for him, too, that he also has that understanding, because of anybody, he's been the most open so far and the most supportive.
Right. No, we can do that. Thank you for letting me know that.
Yeah, no problem. He said that's where he really has trouble getting his head wrapped around it.
I think one of the biggest problems that our apostles wrestle with on a daily basis, which they will not admit, is something that they don't completely understand, and that is the power and authority that is in their ministry. The exact same power and authority that Christ gave to the first apostles is the exact same ministry that's walking on this planet right now. And if they wanted to, our ministers, our apostles, could heal the sick just like they did in the first church. They could cast out demons just like they did in the first church. They could do everything. They just don't believe that. And I had a conversation with the Apostle Orlovsky years ago where I said to him, why do you not do that? And he said, because then we would have a lot of people coming in off the streets and all they would want would be to be healed, and that's not what we're looking for. And I said, who are you to decide that? Because in Christ's time, he knew for a fact that the people were spending time with him because they wanted to be healed, they wanted to be fed, they wanted peace. And many people became believers because of that process. And I'll tell you this, in time, it is going to happen. They will start to perform the miracles that the apostles' ministry was designed for, but we all need to be patient. And again, okay. Father has a plan. He has not given me all the details. He has not even said that to me. That is my complete impression. He has not said to me, you're wrong, boy. So that's why I just brought it to everybody's attention as well. We need to pray as tranquility and Trisus brought out the last meeting. We don't need to pray for ministries. We need to pray for the men, because the men are the biggest problem that we have currently right now. They are getting in the way of faith. So we pray for the men. The Father opens their hearts, he opens their understanding, and they stop getting in the way. Well, they can't get in the way of Father's plan. Everything has been figured out before anything happened. So everything is exactly as Father wishes it to be, and even though it's not happening as quickly as you and I would like it to be, it is as perfect as it can be right now. So I'm very proud of you, Tranquility, for standing your ground, for being there for the family, for being the support for the team as well. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
Does anybody have anything else they'd like to share? Okay. On a personal note, I would like to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. I will probably send out an email with a watchword for next year and the next schedule for the next year for our monthly meetings. I want to say I personally appreciate everything everyone has been doing, not just for themselves, but also for the people around them. I receive emails from different people, or people just pull me aside when I'm in different areas, and they say to me, this healer did this for me, you should be proud of this one, you should be proud of that one, and I smile and go, I'm always proud of all of them, because what they're doing is not an easy thing. So I appreciate everything that you guys are doing. I pray for you all every day. I'm going to ask you also to pray for me too. I'll admit to everybody that I have been going through a bout of depression recently. The holidays are a difficult time for me, but I appreciate everyone's prayers and their support, and I appreciate you very much for all that you do for me as well. So thank you, and if nobody has anything else, I would like to pray with all of you. Okay. Gracious Father, we bow before you. We bring our thanks. We bring our praise. We bring our loyalty. We bring our hearts. We bring our joy, Father. It is because of you that we are who we are. It is because of you that we have the gifts that we have. It is because of you, Father, that we can experience the miracles that we experience now and then. And even when we are able to help somebody, Father, we realize more and more that it's not us. We are merely the tool. But it's you, sometimes it's overwhelming for us, and it is very humbling for us to realize the power and authority that we carry too. We are not here to take the place of the apostles. We are here, Father, to stand by their sides, to instruct them, to help them, to understand that the power and authority that they have is greater than even they can comprehend. And it is because of the plan that you set forth over 2,000 years ago that all of us are here. There are many cares and concerns that rest on the hearts that are around us here. You know that Blazar has he's going to find out within the next week or so if he has this other job, so we bring that before you, Father. You know everything. Help him with his natural life, spiritual life. Pray also for Starfire, whose vehicle took a dump on her, that you'll provide what is needful and necessary for the family. For Fred and the difficulties that they have in their house, Father, with everything that's going on there, you will step in and help them as well. For tranquility in the family, we pray for our friend Tom. He never is ever out of our heart. He's never out of our thoughts. We fight for him, Father, as much as we can. We pray for him. We petition with you always, how much longer? And you always say, just a little while more. So, Father, give the family the strength they need to endure and grant them what they need. We bring the hearts and concerns of the rest of our teammates before you too, and we lay them out. It is a season, Father, of giving. It is a season of receiving as well. So, Father, for all the giving that our team has given this past year, I ask that you will magnify and provide for them 100-fold what they gave this year, that you would give back to them in blessings for their sacrifices, for their love, for their loyalty and their support of you. And not one of them, Father, has ever asked anything of you. And that's why we ask on their behalf. Provide strength for all of us, Father. We pray for this season. There are many hearts around us that are sad and disappointed and broken. And we pray if we are able to help in any way, Father, you will bring them into our lives, and we will use our gifts to help them. If there's something we've forgotten, Father, you'll cover that now. The eternity is always on our heart, too. We pray and petition for them as well. We pray, Father, for those who support us and who surround us, our angels, our counseling angels, all of those, Father, the tools, the wonderful beings that you have given at our disposal. We pray for them, too, that you will bless them also because they give of themselves selflessly. They are such a great example for us, and we are slowly building our relationships with them. We trust them completely. So, Father, we pray for a blessing on them, too. Cover our hearts. We lay everything in your hands, Father. If there's something we've forgotten again, please cover it. And as always, Father, according to what we ask, know how much we love you. Thank you. Amen.